chapter 34 of Deuteronomy is the lead into Joshua 1. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite of Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan. I look at that and I'm thinking there must be a work of the Holy Spirit there, because I'm not sure, given line of sight, that you could actually see that far. I kind of wonder if some of this isn't vision given to him that he would behold. All of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim, Manasseh, all the land of Judah. That takes you all the way to Jerusalem. I don't think you could actually see that from there. So I really wonder if this is not just natural sight, but supernatural gifting and spiritual sight. As far as the Western Sea, the Negev, the plain, and the valley of Jericho, and the city of palm trees, as far as Zora. And the Lord said to him, this is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Bethpora. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. It's actually one of the things later in the New Testament that Archangel contends with Lucifer over the body of Moses, which is just a side note. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated, and he did not have gout. Oh, sorry. I just threw that in for my and Bob's benefit. And the people of Israel wept over Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. That's kind of like a presbytery. There's an anointing. There's a gifting that is given. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there was not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and his servants and all this land, and with all the mighty power and the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. He was an amazing man of God, and he worked in and he demonstrated the power of God. But in a time of frustration and anger, when he was commanded to speak to the rock, he struck it a second time. And that rock that followed them was Christ. Christ is smitten once, not repeatedly. And we need to get that picture in our mind and understand it. He didn't speak to it. In his frustration and his anger, he struck it a second time. And because of that, which to us seems like a minor transgression, God says, you're not going to enter the land. And his credentials are laid here. He was a mighty man of God. He saw God, communicated with God one-on-one. But because of frustration and anger, he didn't enter the land. Joshua leads him in. And I've often wondered about that one too. Because, you know, here we got a number of younger individuals here this morning. There's two from the adult generation that came out of Egypt into the wilderness. There's two, Joshua and Caleb, that survive and enter into the land. And I'm sure some of the families were wondering why our dad died and he survived. And there's lessons there, and we need to understand and capitalize it this morning if we can. To walk in obedience. So now we enter, here's Joshua, and he's preparing to enter the land. We're going to look at these nine verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, that was the name, that was, you know, he was the son of somebody whose name happened to be Nun. Moses attended. I have to clarify that, because Melchizedek had no lineage, no record of birth or death, mother or father. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over to this of this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I have promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, and the great sea towards the going down of the sun, that's the Mediterranean, shall be your territory. Israel has never possessed that. They have never, if you look at a Bible map in the back of your Bible, the Euphrates is far east of where what is currently the boundaries of Israel today. They've never held that. It's coming. There's a king who's coming who's going to establish that. And it's the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to understand that this prophecy is a prophecy yet to be totally fulfilled. No man shall be able to stand before you in the days of your life, just as I have been with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Kind of reminds me of Matthew 28. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That is a word that is extended to you and I. Cast all your care on him because he cares for you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen? Christ is with you. This is which is spoken to Joshua. There is an extension to you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all that the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen? Now that extends to you and I. All these things were written unto them are given as examples to you unto whom the ends of the ages have come. There's something here that we need to grasp. The Old Testament is a picture of what is to be fulfilled in the New Testament, and it's there as examples. It teaches us what we need to enter into, what we need to appropriate. You know, my son-in-law came over Friday night and he delivered supper to me, and he had this great big grin on his face. I got a brisket from the store, and he came in and he's grinning and he says, Cheryl said she thinks maybe we should get a smoker. Yeah. God wants to use us and bless us. He wants to equip us. And it's illustrative here. I want to finish the course strong. I don't want to finish it like Moses did. Oh, his eye wasn't dimmed, and you know, but he didn't get to enter the land. Let me explain to you. The land is not a picture of heaven. So often it's been presented that way. Crossing the Jordan, entering into the land, you know. Listen. Can I tell you a secret? There's no war in heaven. There's no enemies to be put out. There are no fortified cities that have to be conquered. There are no idols to be torn down. Canaan, entering into the land, is a picture of you and I having gone through an equipping process that brings us to the place of entering in and to occupy and to share the gospel and to infiltrate the world with light and with salt. There is an enemy. There is opposition. We don't wrestle against... the neighbor's not our enemy. There's an adversary. It's a spiritual warfare. And we are somehow to connect with them and let them see the positive, just as you shared of your sister and the impact on a child. That's our calling. We need to be prepared to enter in and finish well. I ran 880, 888 yards. Well, that's half a mile. In junior high in Calgary, I led the race until maybe 100 yards, 50 yards, and three guys blew by me. I had no coach. I want to finish stronger than I start. Are you hearing me? No? And that requires work. It's more important how we complete our journey than how we began. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I finished the faith. I've kept the faith. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. I need to regularly remind myself that I am where, that's the location, God wants me to be. Wolseley is not a happenstance. It's a divine appointment for me. I'm on the course, the plan that he has for me. And I am doing the purpose that he has appointed for me to do. I have to remind myself of those facts continuously. And I suggest that you need to as well. You're not here by chance. You're here by divine appointment. I believe that all has come my way as a follower of Christ Jesus has had and will continue to have a redemptive purpose in my life. There's been good and bad. But as I walk obediently before him, all of it works together for good. Romans 8, 28 and 29, and we know that all those who love God and all the things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. To those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Joshua and Caleb are about to lead the people, and Joshua's got the primary lead. And he is to go forth, and he's to do it in three ways. He's to do it in obedience. He's to do it on the promises of God. He is to have courage for the way, and he's to stand in an unshakable commitment. And those four key points really are the outline for the devotional this morning. Joshua 1 and 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them and to the people of Israel. John, there's times that you need to just get up and get moving. I confessed to Helen earlier today, I didn't do that very well on Friday. I didn't accomplish a quarter of what I planned on doing. She explained how David was exhausted yesterday and he didn't get as much done as he wanted to yesterday. And every once in a while we shut. But I tell you something, when the alarm went off this morning, my feet hit the deck. I was ready to go because I wanted to see you. I was ready to share the word. You know, and then a bunch of burdens start to come in of things that, you know, we need to pray about and remember. I think it's in the bulletin, a note to myself. John, arise. Break a path away from self-contentment and spiritual laziness. You know, it's easy to sit back and do nothing. Go over this this Jordan. Remember that there will always be obstacles. There will always be things in the natural that are going to resist you. And some of it, in fact, most of it's our own character. My greatest enemy in my life is me. You know? Joshua 1:7, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And I just a note to myself, do not trust your own intellect or shortcuts. Anytime I see a plan for, you know, spiritual growth to get here or there, you know, and I'm looking at, you know, it's not that simple. You know? Oh, walking with Christ is for the weak. No. You're right. But once you start walking with him, you've got to keep pace with him. And that's where the strength comes in. You know, I don't know if you're, I don't know if Rachel's going to end up with crutches or not. But if you got a bum leg, you know, having a crutch is not a bad deal. Is Jesus my crutch? Yes. I'm yoked to him. I walk with him. He's my supplier. He's my sufficiency. He's my strength. And when I came to that point of realizing that that was my need, then Christ made perfect sense to me. Learning to obedience for the journey. And listen, how's the loss of God summed up by Jesus? You know, there's the Ten Commandments, you know, and then they added, you know, another 613, you know. You know, where do you begin? And what did Jesus say? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two I can remember. You know? Am I doing that consistently? Our promises for the journey. The basis for victory on our journey is not our ability, but the promises of God. If I'm trusting my own strength, I'm going to fall flat on my face. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If I think I can do it, he'll knock me down. You know? Good morning? That's not what I wanted to hear. Too bad. It's the truth. God will knock you down. But even though the righteous are cast down, seven times they'll be lifted up. Perfect completion. God wants... He wants to get my attention. He wants me to walk with him, not thinking that I'm going to walk and he's going to follow me. You know? He's leading the way. Second Peter 1, 2 to 4. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things, not a few things or some things, but all things, that pertain to life and godliness. If there's something in my life that I need that's got nothing to do with life in God or godliness, I don't need it. But everything pertaining to life in Christ and godliness, he'll provide through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted us his precious and very great promises, so that through them, those promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. Not in heaven. That'll happen automatically when we see him. When we see him, we will be like him. Amen? But to be conformed to his image here and now. Boy, that requires some work on my part. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Those promises are for here and now. It's not pie in the sky and poverty here. It's the blessing and the favor of God right now in our lives. I need to lay hold of that. I need to believe and receive the promises of God. That's just a note to myself. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. Am I laying my life down for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I trying to get him to do things in my life that favor me? It's his kingdom that's at stake, not mine. My name in the natural will perish. In fact, in glory, every believer is getting a new name. And it's connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. I haven't always felt like that. There's days I wonder what in the world was going on. If I'm walking with God, why is this happening? And in many cases, it's not until years later that all the light goes on. I go, oh man, you know, looking back, now I can see the sense of what happened. I can see God's hand. I can see God's favor. I can see the work of God in my soul. But I couldn't at the time. Pain and frustration and disappointment and anger, all kinds of emotions were there. And trust was low on the list. Good morning. Is that just me? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 10, 4-6. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when our obedience is complete. And taking possession of my own thinking is very demanding. There's all kinds of things that can creep in, you know, and just erode away. And listen, it happened to Moses. Hello? If it happened to Moses, that kind of a quality individual, I can pretty much bet it's going to happen to me and to you. We need to have courage for the journey. Joshua 1:6-9, be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There are things that come against us in our life that can terrify us. And we need to be strong. And we need to be courageous. Being a believer in Christ, being a follower of Christ, is not for the faint-hearted. It takes great courage to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, take up your cross and follow me. You know? Well, what's a cross? It's an instrument of death. Am I prepared to die to self and to live for Christ? If Christ is my all in all, what can the world do to me? What can it take from me? No. Can't even take my life because it's already secured in Christ. Paul said in Philippians, for me to die is gain and to live is Christ. You know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not really afraid of death. I'll tell you what I am afraid of. I'm afraid of living so long that I end up like my granddad on my mom's side, tied in a wheelchair with a bib around him, not knowing who people were. He didn't recognize my grandma Rose, didn't recognize my mom, didn't recognize me. Before there was a separation in family, he and my dad had a fight. And my dad was the only one he recognized. All of a sudden, he sits up in his chair straight. He looks at my dad, and he says, Freddie, you've gotten gray. Then he slumped back in the chair, and that was it. My mother wept. for 20 minutes in the car that Grandpa had recognized my dad, but not her. I don't want that. I said to Cheryl, when I get to that point, take me out in the field and do lead poisoning. She says, put it in writing. Remember that? You see that grin?
I mean, yeah. We have similar instructions from your wife, too.
I know. Oh, not pertaining to her. Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah. Her wishes for me. Yeah, I got it.
Cool.
Yeah. It takes real strength to walk with Christ. Walking with Christ isn't for the faint-hearted. I think that's why there's a lot that fall off. You know? Matthew 6:34, therefore not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day, for the day is its own trouble. Philippians 4:6-7, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, this is an interesting portion. I always match this up in my mind with Romans 5, where it says, through Jesus Christ you have peace with God. That the indictments against me have been wiped out. Christ bore them. That's peace with God. But he says to John, you now have my peace available to you, the peace not with God, but the peace of God. And I don't always have that. I don't think anybody with kids always has peace, because we're you see that mom there? Yeah? No. Because you're looking at their lives and you're wanting the best for them, and you don't know if it's coming. And like sometimes they make decisions, you kind of shake. Oh. Hello? Come on, moms, grandmas, grandpas. Come on, it's the truth, isn't it? Yeah. It was easier to look after her when she was two than it is now. Now she wants a smoker. Yeah. But those things, you know, those things are always there that weigh on us. And it really requires courage to take those things, parcel them up, and give them to Jesus. You know, that's the whole story of Pilgrim's Progress. Just, you know, and you know the story. He put the load down, and then he'd get up and pick it up and carry it again. And that's me in a lot of ways. You know. Our commitment for the journey. And with this we share, and we'll close and prepare for communion. And you have a closing song? What'd you pick? Oh, you got... I'm not going to say it out loud. I was going to say, you got the hint, but I won't say that. He's a smart man. His name is Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. I want you to, you know, you may not mark your Bible, but mark your bulletin. Notice the last part there. For then, when you're focusing on the Word of God, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. It's not automatic. No. Am I hearing the Father? One of the things that vividly sticks out in my mind on this lesson was we were late getting back. We were on a day picnic. We were out with some relatives, and we were late getting back for lunch. And my aunt and uncle go, oh, the kids are safe, the kids are safe. And my dad walks over, and he hands me the hunting knife, and he says, here, go get you and your brother, the two of you, get out there and get a switch. You're going to get a spanking. You know? Why? We were late. Yeah. Oh, you're safe. No. You learn to obey, boy. So my brother and I go out, and I come back with a switch, and he comes back with this limp-looking thing. And my dad looks at it, and I could just see the disgust on his face. My brother is younger than me. And he took the switch from me and he says, "You can go eat now. You, with my switch, come with me." You know? And our father loves us. My dad loved us. But he was committed to raising young men, not brats. Hello? You got to learn to obey. And then, God's the same. He says, love the word of God. Do not let this word depart out of your mouth. Keep it close to you. Chew on it. Digest it. That's what the word meditate means, actually, is to chew, to think it through. Learn the word. You shall meditate on it day and night. Haggah, to moan, growl, utter, muse, mutter, meditate, devise, plot, speak. That's what the word meditate means. It's formulated in your mind. You're thinking, how does this work in my life? How do I get this to apply? How do I get these results? God, show me the way of your favor. Amen? Come on. Y'all there? I know it's getting late. You know, we got a couple of minutes yet. What is it that God's trying to get through to you? What is it that you need to chew about and plot and devise and scheme how to get this in your life? Are you regularly working on the Word of God, allowing it to get into your heart and mind? Well, that's for you to answer to God, not to me. Live the Word. Be careful to do according to it. Yeah? And then finally, lay hold of the promises for them. For them. They're about to enter the land. It's the last push of this aspect of the journey. Later, I'm going to be doing a series on occupying. They take all of these lessons from the wilderness and get into the land, and they're to apply them to occupy. One of the greatest failures in Israel was when they wanted a king. For what purpose? That we would be like all the other nations. One of the reasons that God had called Israel out was that they would be a witness to all the other nations of who God was. And now they're saying, let us be like the nations. And I think there's nothing more tragic than when a Christian decides to live like the world. And the result was the northern 10 tribes are carried off into captivity, and then the southern tribes are carried off into captivity. And then they're allowed to rebuild the temple, and they're allowed to rebuild the city 444 BC, under Artaxerxes the king. They come back, and they're under Nehemiah, they rebuild the city. They reestablish the walls, they reestablish the gates, but Jerusalem still is not theirs. But there's a day coming, the king is going to enter. The king, not a king, the king. The King of Glory is going to come in, and he's going to come with all his saints. And I want to finish strong. I want to finish strong. So it's up to me, in my own personal walk, to walk a life of obedience, to walk a life in the promises of God, filled with the courage that comes through the Holy Spirit, committed to loving the Word and learning the Word and living the Word and laying hold of the promises of God. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Amen? I'm going to ask you to receive communion, and then Josh is going to come and lead us and trust and obey, for there's no other way.